Cliffhanger. Yeah, let's give it up for Pastor Ken rocking it last week, right? He will be back. Maybe at the Uprising Conference this year. I don't know. We will see. But I really appreciated Pastor Ken coming and kicking off our new series called Outrageous Generosity. And today, I'm gonna make a promise to you, all right? Today, I'm going to make a promise to you. I'm going to preach a short sermon this week, all right? Now, don't amen that, okay? But this sermon is merely a segue to next week. And so all I want you to know is that next week is going to be the best Christmas Eve service that you have ever seen, that you have ever heard of, that you maybe will ever witness again for the rest of your life, because we are going to bring this Hope House story to life from beginning to end all next Sunday and Monday, four identical services. And so I want you to start thinking right now about what your plans are going to be, and at the end of today's service, we're going to RSVP which service that you're coming to next week. And since, I didn't know if you knew this, it's Jesus's birthday, he would really like you to invite someone to his party next week. So make sure you bring a friend to Jesus's birthday party next week, all right? Is everybody down? Everybody down? Raise your hand if you're gonna try to bring someone to Jesus's birthday party next week. So shall it be, Lord. You saw their hand. And so we wanna continue our series this morning called Outrageous Generosity. And I felt a little bit like an absentee parent last week, because at the end of the service 2 weeks ago, I dropped this bomb on you guys. I said, hey, guess what? We're gonna go buy a house. It's already in the works. It's already pretty much done. And this is how you can participate. And so then I left town and you had a guest speaker come in and preached an incredible message on outrageous generosity. And he asked if you were gonna get in on what God was doing. And so I felt a little bit like, man, I wanted to give more details, but there's times where you just have to get away. And I know all my process people, right? All my process people, my fellow control freaks and the DISC personality paradigms, it's called the C personality. They like rules, they like order, they like details, they like process. Any of my other control people in here, raise your hands. Let's confess it right now before the Lord. Yes, yes. I know that people started asking questions like, well, if we take this money from over here and we apply it to over here, you know, we're trying to raise $12 million, which turned into $14 million because of some curveballs to build a building over here on our new piece of property. And if we take this money out of here and we put it over there, like, is that going to delay this process? Is this going to affect this process? And so I wanted to tell you a little bit about how God works, and then I'm going to preach a very short sermon. So in the ministry, there's a lot of farming analogies. And the best way that I can try to describe this to you is there's the plowing process, and it's very tedious, all right? You're trying to break up all this hard ground. There's the plowing, very tedious. And then there's the planting. You gotta put whatever you want to come out of the ground is what you have to put in the ground. So you gotta plow, then you gotta plant, and then the third step is you gotta protect. So once you've put it in the ground, there are all these things that are against that seed ever producing fruit. And everyone in here that has ever been a part of the plowing, planting, and protecting process, you will readily understand the illustration, especially if you have ever been a coach, if you've ever been a parent, or you've ever been a teammate, especially a team captain. I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about this seriously. Have you ever had to try to plant something after you've plowed and after you've planted and now you're trying to protect it? And then you send it off to middle school and someone is trying to undo everything that you've done. Can I get an amen if someone knows what I'm talking about? Some of you, you have to split time with your kids and you send them off to the other person's house, and when they come back, you have to try to undo what somebody else has done. As a matter of fact, some of you might even have grandparents and players. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like you trying to like be good, and you're trying to like, oh, no chocolate, no whatever, and they come back and they've eaten all these foods or watched all these shows that you are off limits, and you have to undo what the grandparents have done. Can I get a witness in the house? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You as a boss, you're trying to put it into your employees. Like, hey, these are our vision, this is our values. And they go off to some conference and they come back and now they got all these really crazy ideas. And you have to undo, you constantly have to protect what you're trying to produce. I can't tell you how many times it happens in football, basketball. Coach calls a timeout and everybody's on the same page. Then the teammates, they're ready, they go out. And then there's one guy who didn't get the call. Can I get a witness over here? Anybody that plays sports, one guy is doing his own thing, running his own play that he imagined in his mind. And the coach is over there going nuts. Like, how in the world did we sit there and talk about what we were gonna do? And then you walked out there and you did the exact opposite of what I said. It's so hard when you go through this process of plowing, planting, and protecting. It's so hard to get it to produce because there's so many things that are coming at what you're trying to do. But every now and then, God allows you to see the fruit come up out of the ground. I mean, every now and then, it's not often. It's a tedious process. But what we believe at Genesis Metro is that there are people that are worth that process. There, absolutely, 100%, there are people that are worth that process. All of the plowing, all of the planting, all of the protecting, and every now and then, you get to see a seed come up out of the ground, and it produces life change in a marriage. It produces life change in a teenager. It produces life change in a young adult. It produces a different generational cycle than the one that they grew up in, where they have a chance to grow up and get married and make it work. I mean, life change happens all around us, and that product of seeing people's life change makes all of the process worth it. Because if you ever try to do ministry for any other purpose than glorifying God, I promise you, you'll burn out. You'll burn out because more people will not care about what you planted in them, what you plowed into them, whatever it is that you did for them, they will not receive it. They will oftentimes do the opposite of what you counsel them to do. And if it is about you getting something out of it for you, you'll burn out. But if it's about God's glory, Galatians 6:9 tells us this, and let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Now watch this. Would he have written that don't give up if it was never a thought in the Christian's mind that we should give up? Do you see? He's implying that there is a natural bent toward burnout whenever we misplace our priorities. See, if you start making it about you, then you'll grow weary in well-doing. You'll get to the point like, oh my gosh, I've given so much. I mean, these people are take it. And you'll run out. If it's about you, you'll run out. He said, let us not grow weary in well-doing, because in due season, you get to reap. And I'm telling you, the harvest of hope is worth the wait. Today, we're gonna be talking about how hope begins when God sends a word from heaven. If you want your situation to change today, it's gonna have to start with a word from heaven. And I want you to ask yourself this morning, what word are you building your life change around? Are you just hoping it's going to change? Are you just trying to make it change? Are you thinking like, if I just put more effort into it, it's going to change? If I read a new book, it's going to change? If I start getting up earlier, it's going to change? If I start working out, it's going to change? Or are you building it around a word from God? I'm going to talk about a 700-year-old prophecy of Christmas from a prophet named Isaiah this morning, and how the children of Israel were in the midst of one of the worst chaotic, ruinous, destructive times, and God sent a word to them that was going to radically change their future. And this morning, if you are in need of some hope, I promise you, the word that I'm going to speak today can give you every answer that you need. And today our church is going to get to do incredible, incredible things. In just over 10 days, since we announced this initiative, to build the Hope House. Our goal was $100,000 that we were going to invest in a house, invest in 12 months of utilities and payments and all the such. And in 10 to 12 days, we have raised $76,000 from inside and outside, from people that don't even go to our church, from people that don't even know what our church is, but somehow through the means of the internet, social media, people sharing, people have given toward the cause, and now here we stand like $24,000 shy, and today I'm gonna get that $24,000. Trust me, someone's gonna write a check today for $24,000. I just think it's gonna happen. And so I want you to learn a lesson. I want you to learn this lesson, and I'm gonna get to the short message in just a moment, all right? See, this is not the sermon, so you cannot count this against my time. Every now and then, there's a wrestling match that has to go on. Because there's a wrestling match between what you want to do and what God wants to do. And sometimes what you want to do has to be interrupted by what he wants to do. And I want you to remember, you can mark this day down, December 16, 2018. Mark this day down. Because this is the day that Genesis Metro is going to put aside what we want to do for our future, for what God wants to do for a family in our church. Now watch this. This is a great opportunity for me as your pastor to lead you in how God works. We are going to sow our way into the next season. And we are going to plant a $100,000 seed into the kingdom of God. And now I want you to sit back in 2019 and watch God pour it out, because we were willing to set aside what we wanted for what the kingdom needed. Are you hearing what I'm saying in here today? You watch. Mark, for those of you that are skeptical of how this works in the kingdom world, just watch. Just be a skeptic. You just keep your checkbook to yourself, okay? You keep your generosity to yourself. And I just want you to watch everybody else get blessed around you while we walk forward in this kingdom movement. And so I just want you to be a skeptic and watch what happens when God interrupts what we're doing for what he's doing. And now I shall get to the sermon. Are you ready? Okay, Isaiah 61, prophecy, 700 years before Jesus comes to the earth. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free, and the opening of the prison to those that are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor," synonymous with what you heard about last week, grace, favor, grace, same thing. And so God here is saying that I have the ability to get good news to people that are in dark places. I have the ability to get good news to people that are in dark places. If you understand the context of captivity that the Israelites are in, Isaiah is writing to a people that have been displaced from their country to a country that would be as far as, I don't know, Latin America, okay? Just imagine that you woke up tomorrow morning and you were in Guatemala and the Guatemalans were ruling over you, okay? The Israelites, because of their disobedience, had been taken from where they were at and placed in a completely different country. And there's this prophet, there's this word that comes from heaven down to man through this guy named Isaiah. And he says, guess what? I know that you are looking around you, but good news is on the way. And I'm just going to guess that sitting in here this morning, there are some people that have some dark places in your life. And I could spend the rest of the sermon on God healing the brokenhearted, on God setting the captive free, on God being able to open doors that have been closed and have been locked behind you in like a prison. But all I want to say to this is that good news can find you in dark places. And I bet everyone in here can relate to a season when they were in a dark place. Can I get a witness? Anybody in here? Yes, you know what it means to be in a dark place. When we get to verse 3, it's the setting of a funeral. He says, "I will provide for those who grieve in Zion," and that word Zion is synonymous with Jerusalem. Jerusalem has been burned to the ground, the temple has been destroyed, the walls have been broken down. And Isaiah is writing these words to a people that are experiencing grief. Did you know that Christmas time is almost like a bipolar experience for most people? Does anybody understand what that's like? Like, there is a part of Christmas that is incredible, it's awesome, and we get to celebrate. But when you live long enough, Christmas is a time where you remember when you used to have some people or some places that you don't have anymore. And so it's a bittersweet experience when you begin to look around during this season. Here Isaiah is trying to promote a message of hope in the midst of an incredible amount of hurt. And so I thought we should ask ourselves the question, have we ever been in a circumstance that begins to suggest something to us that is not in alignment with God's word? Have you ever had circumstances start suggesting things to you? Because their circumstances were suggesting that all hope was lost. And I wonder, where can I find hope when sin has carried me so far away? Have you ever allowed sin to carry you away from God's will in your life? Is anybody, are y'all gonna look at me spiritual? Let's just raise our hand. Have you ever sinned and it's taken you away from God's presence? Anybody in here? Yeah, okay. I'll let some of you lie. I got it. The Israelites' disobedience had carried them so far away that they were thousands of miles from home. Where do we find hope when sin has taken us farther than we ever expected to go? Think about that for a moment. Where do we find hope whenever it feels like God has forgotten me? Has anybody ever experienced a hurt like that where you're crying out to God? Hey, if you ever feel that way, don't take that as a part of your faith is broken. The psalmist dealt with this all the time. Job was even wondering what God was doing in the midst of all of his mess. And I'm telling you right now, it's okay to ask that question. Here is these people that are growing up inside of captivity. 483 years they were in captivity in Babylon. 483 years. And don't you know that some of them woke up and they would hear the stories about how it used to be and where it was in this Jerusalem and this incredible temple, and they had to ask, like, did God forget about us? Has God forgotten me in this darkness? Where do you find hope when it feels like you're never going to make it back? In Isaiah 61, verse 3, it says that there was this funeral feeling going on, and the circumstances were suggesting an alternative reality. I want you to know that when you get away from the presence of God, circumstances will start making some crazy suggestions to you. Did you know that? Circumstances will start telling you there is no hope. Circumstances will start telling you, you know what, we should give up on this marriage. Circumstances will start telling you maybe we should just give up on life. Maybe it'd be better if I wasn't even here. Oh, circumstances will start telling you that maybe I just need to change jobs again. And if I change jobs again, then eventually I'll just get to the right place where I'll be happy. Circumstances will tell you, you know what? It's a new church. I need to go to a new church. I need to go to a new church. If I just go to a new church, this church will be the one. No. Circumstances are not something that you have to surrender to. If you could get a word from God this morning, he could begin changing. Because verse 3, it says that it was the atmosphere of a funeral. He said, but if you'll allow me, I'll give you an instead of. He says, I will trade you a crown of beauty for your ashes. He said, I will give you the oil of joy for your depression, for your anxiety, for your mourning. He said, matter of fact, I will give you a garment of praise that will cover your spirit of despair. Put the verse up, my gosh, man, put it up there. I'm in verse 3. Instead of, I want you to see it 3 times, instead of, instead of, instead of. God is saying that I'm going to move you from what you should have been to what I have to offer. Are you seeing this? Because of what the circumstances were around them, they should have been in despair. They should have had mourning. They should have been crying. They should have had ashes on their head. But he said, because I'm going to give you a word this morning that you can change it all, he said, I'm going to make a trade. I'm going to make an exchange. I'm going to do a transaction with you based upon my grace. He said, I'm going to give you beauty for your ashes. I'm going to give you joy for your sadness. And I'm going to give you a garment of praise. You don't have to surrender to your circumstances this morning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your circumstances are lying to you. You better make this next decision on the word of God, not your circumstances. You better hear a word before you make that next turn, before you dial that next number. You better hear a word from God. Because with a word, he can give you an instead of. Instead of another broken relationship, he can give you a firm foundation. Instead of another family growing up with all kinds of chaos, he can give you peace in your household. Instead of wondering how we're gonna pay our way through the next cycle of bills, if you would start to trust him and get in his word and get a word to build your foundation on, he will take you through the storm and get you safely to the other side. He can give you an instead of this morning if you would learn to look to his word for your solutions. When David walked out into the valley, he did not surrender to the circumstance that he was facing the giant. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When Joshua walked up to the walls of the invincible city called Jericho, he didn't allow the circumstances to dictate his following of God. Whenever Daniel was sleeping comfortably in the lion's den, all of us would have been freaking out. But somehow, they all believed that their outcome was going to be opposite of their circumstances. Where did they get such a hope? It had to be a word from above. Man, hope begins when you get a word from heaven. And when a word comes down from heaven, man, it changes everything about your situation. Watch this. He said, your feeling of sadness is going to turn to joy. Your feeling of despair is going to turn to praise. Now watch this. He was predicting in the future how they were going to feel about something before they even got there. What if you had a word that you could build your life on, that you could know how you're going to feel in your future predicated on the word that he gave you today? Wouldn't that be incredible that if you knew that whenever it looked to everyone else like you should be in a season of mourning, like you should be in the pit of despair, that if you were standing on the solid rock saying, no, God has already given me beauty for these ashes. No, I receive what my circumstances are telling me. No, I receive what God has gifted me in the word that he has given me. That's what I'm trying to say to you this morning. You don't have to surrender to the circumstances. God is above all of that. 700 years later, after Isaiah has penned these words, they're on these scrolls. And they're on this stuff called papyrus. And so they would write down these scrolls, and whenever that scroll got old, they had a number that was assigned to each letter, and so that mathematically they could guarantee with precision the accuracy as they transmitted all of these scrolls from one generation to the other. Inside of 483 years of captivity in another land, they would transmit these scrolls, and then Jesus is born 700 years after Isaiah writes these words down, walks into the temple that has been rebuilt. Okay, so it wasn't even built when Isaiah prophesied it. He walked into a building that had been rebuilt for this moment. He unrolls the scroll and he reads these exact words. The Spirit has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free, and to open the prison doors to those that have been bound. It says that he rolled up the scroll, he set it down, and he walked back and he sat down in his seat, and all of the eyes in the room were on him. And he says he began to speak to them today. This word is fulfilled in your presence. You see, hope started when a word came down from heaven. God sent the word of God to fulfill this word in Isaiah 61. What I'm trying to say is that when Jesus walked into the house, hope walked in to the house. And if you would let hope walk into your house today, he could change. He could change. He could give you beauty for your ashes. He could give you joy for your sadness. And he could give you a garment of praise to cover your spirit of despair. Now watch this. He said, after I deal with the hurt that's in your heart and I change the way you feel by giving you a word that is from above, he says, then they will do something. Verse 4, and I will wrap it up. It says, they will, that's you, the people. After you hear from heaven, after I heal your heart, he says, they will rebuild what has been ruined. They will restore what has been devastated. And they will renew the devastation of generations. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look, the ruins were all around them. He says, after I get your heart right, your job is to go out there and restore and repair and rebuild what has been ruined. Did you know that there are people all around us that are in a state of ruin? There are relationships all around us that are in a state of ruin. And God is saying, quit trying to fix what is broken. Let me have your heart, and then you'll know how to restore it. Then you'll know how to rebuild it. Then you'll know how to renew it. Man, wouldn't it be amazing this morning if hope walked into some broken relationships? If hope walked into some hurting hearts? Man, I'm telling you right now, if you would invite Jesus into the house, he would change everything about your situation. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we ask God, we plead God, that you might raise up the fruit of life change as we respond to your word. God, only you can change hearts. God, only you can take those that are broken, those that are captives. God, only you can open some of the doors that have been locked behind us. And God, I want for that person that's in a dark place this morning, for that person who is feeling that spirit of despair that's on them so heavy they're ready to quit, God, I want them to hear that there's good news on the way. There is good news on the way, that God's word has come down from heaven. And this day, this word is being fulfilled in your presence. That if you will receive his word, he will heal your broken heart. If you will receive his word right now, he will set the captive free. If you will receive his word right now, he will open the door that someone locked you in. I'm telling you right now, freedom is on the way. Hope is on the way. We are going to rebuild what sin has ruined. We are going to restore the areas that have been devastated, and we are going to renew what has been lost for generations. And it's going to start with your family. It's going to start with you, Dad. You're going to be different than the father you were raised with. It's going to start with you, Mom. You're going to be different than the mom that you were raised with. Because what? Because you wanted to be known. Because you stood on God's word and not the circumstances that were surrounding you, that were suggesting to you, that were tempting you to go in a different direction. Today is the day that hope walks in this house. Would you guys rise as we sing?